7 FM Eastside Radio.
Now, you might remember a few weeks ago, I had a very lovely chat with a young lady from the Sydney Estedford, and it was remarkable because it was a great insight into what can be done and how certain institutions are involving the youth in modern music and the arts. And I was delighted to welcome then Annette Brown, and we had a telephone chat, but I'm even more delighted now to welcome Annette into the studio. Annette, welcome to Monday Drive.
Alan, it's so lovely to be here in person and to see this wonderful studio that is going to tell the world about how much excitement has happened in that short time.
It has been a very short time, but there has been quite a lot that's happened in the meantime, and we've got another little bit of a surprise coming up in a few moments' time. But We'll get to that. Just remind us all a little bit, a very potted history of the Estedford, Annette, and where it's come from and where it's at now.
It's so tight to try and sell in a couple of minutes this wonderful 90-year-old grand dame, as I call her, that has allowed so many people to get back onto the stage, be it reciting poetry or singing a song or playing an instrument, or maybe doing a dance. So for 90 years, you've had the opportunity to go on to www.sydneyestedford, or maybe in the old days it was pen and paper, to enter into the Sydney Estedford and have that chance to participate as a choir or as an orchestra so that you could meet what fellow participants were doing and have that really lovely sense of family that you get like we do here.
Yeah. And it's been around for how long, did you say?
Today's our 91st, and we actually were lucky enough to meet each other only a week ago.
And I was going to say, where did we meet each other?
And I keep trying to interrupt because I'm so excited. We have a home. We finally have a home. We have the Chippen Street Theatre, which allows us to do all our smaller performances in a real lights, bells, whistles, curtains, everything. It is so exciting. And also to, you know, a lovely kawaii piano there, which allows us to do all more exciting things. But don't forget, we still go to the Opera House. We still do those other lovely big events.
You mentioned kawaii. Now, I'm interested in kawaii because one of your functions, one of the functions of the Estedford, is to draw together various elements of the arts. Obviously, talent on one part, opportunity is another part. But tell us a little bit about how kawaii fits into that whole patchwork of connections.
It's vital that you have partners. It's vital that you work together with as many people as possible, because kawaii are actually the major sponsor for our piano scholarship. And that allows young people to actually go overseas and do further study, but more importantly, in a supported fashion. So when hopefully we'll get to chat to my special guest and friend very shortly, but when she went overseas, she had a whole family that was willing to help her, because the wonderful kawaii family said, hey, come and have a look at our studios over in Great Britain. So it means that you've got these beautiful instruments to play on, and also to, you know, give us the support with obviously some dollars, which is vital. So these partnerships for us are vital.
The kawaii is a very significant manufacturer of instruments. The instrument, I was hoping we might be able to have someone for kawaii here, but I understand they're travelling at the moment and unavailable. But I wanted to just get an understanding of the complexity of a modern-day piano, what it takes to make. Do you know anything about that? So
all I know is that before we were gifted the beautiful piano in our venue, we had various people come in to see the size, the space, and also to access. So Kauai are very special in that they just don't sell you something off the shop front.
Right.
In our case, give us something off the shop front. Oh. They actually came and visited and worked out what was the best interest instrument. More importantly, Alan, when we do our major scholarship, they want to know that the students are worthy of such a large scholarship. And so they give us a very grand, large piano, much larger than what's in our studio. And they also, too, advise where it should be played and what we should be listening to. So this beautiful partnership just keeps giving.
So it's a real involvement, isn't it? It's an involvement right down to a partnership rather more than just a straight sponsorship deal.
Exactly. And these partnerships are vital because if you think where you saw me at the Chippen Street Theatre, I'm really lucky. The Australian Youth Orchestra and the Australian Haydn Ensemble have moved in. So here are two other major arts organisations that we can go and say, hey, we're not sure, can we? Can we work together? What can we do in collaboration, which is what we do with Kauai?
So are you suggesting that you got brand new premises in order that you could fit this lovely new piano into it?
Well, look, I'm hoping that I'll fit a few other things in there as well, but that was definitely a good motivation.
Well, I think it's congratulations on the move-in. It's a wonderful place. It's got great acoustics, and of course it has a magnificent piano there. I don't actually think I've seen one quite as... Actually, I'm lying. I have seen them quite as big.
But because it is so purpose for the space, it sounds divine.
It does.
So we haven't put the wrong instrument. We haven't put something too big. We haven't put something too small. Mm. It's a little bit like, you know, Goldilocks, which is the most perfect fit. Where am I going to get my porridge next?
I want to come back and talk about the music that is current, but just tell us a little bit about the scholarship scheme that operates right now.
So scholarships... Please, everybody, go online because there's a couple of major scholarships that I'm going to need your video entries by the 29th of April. So you've got the public holiday to get your act together, but there's ballet, there's opera, there's piano, there's instrumental. And so what happens is you go to the wsydneyestedford.com.au and there you can choose.
Do you want to give that address again? Because I think you just garbled it.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Do it again.
I get so excited. It's www.sydneyestedford.
Right.
Don't forget, Estedford has that terrible double D.
Double D at the end, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can go on and you could choose anything you want to enter. But if you want one of those major scholarships, there's just one little extra hurdle where you've got to prepare some audio for us to have a look at first.
Oh, you have to prepare some audio, do you?
So only on those majors, only on seven things of the 356 other odd events, you can just turn up on the day and give it a go. But for those seven major scholarships, we need a little bit more information.
Would something like this be suitable? Thank you. So, Annette, do you recognise that piece of music?
Oh, how could I not? Beethoven, Sonata number 30. If one of my adjudicators heard that, and we have industry specialists, they'd be wanting to see that young person live.
Do you think that piece of music that I've just played would be suitable to qualify for a scholarship?
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, I'll be blowed. Look who's in the studio. Who? Winnie Sue. Welcome to East Side Radio.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for having me.
Do you recognise this piece of music?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember playing it, Winnie?
I do, very fondly.
Before you played it, were you nervous?
Oh, yes.
How did you control your nerve? Because how long ago was it, first of all?
So this was 1.5 years ago at the 2022 Sydney Stedford Kauai Piano Scholarship.
And was that your first presentation on a Kauai piano?
Not on a Kauai piano, but it was my first time on a Shigeru Kauai SKX. That is the flagship grand piano.
Oh, wow.
It's a beautiful piano to play on because now I'm a little bit of a piano geek. The ABS carbon fiber action in it, which they call Millennium 3 action, right? So it's extremely light, it's extremely durable, very responsive. And the Shigeru Kauai series are a series of their handmade pianos as well. So they are the cream of the crop pianos. And it was such a privilege to get to play on one of those in the finals of the Sydney Stedford.
And look what happened as a result. Look what happened as a result.
And weren't we lucky to hear that result? It was just stunning. And each of those beautiful kauai, even my little one, has got its own number. And it's actually one of my phone savers because it's so special to be gifted something that's handmade.
Just stunning, just stunning. Winnie, you said before before that performance, you were actually quite nervous. What do you do before a performance? And we're going to get on to last night in a few minutes. What do you do before a performance to calm your nerves? I've seen you at a piano immediately beforehand, just taking a breath, looking to the sky, closing your eyes, taking one breath, taking another one, acknowledging to the conductor that you're ready. What do you do backstage?
Something very similar, but a little bit more extended. So always controlling my breath and taking in the environment that I'm in. And usually backstage, I like to keep quiet. I ask the backstage people to turn off the audio feeds just so I have the screen running. I can see what's going on the stage. But I ask them to switch off the audio feed so that inside my head, I can just focus on visualizing. And what I do is I imagine what it's going to look like, what I'm going to do on that stage, what the lights feel like, what direction I'm facing, what the audience might look like. And all of these things put together, it's like rehearsing in my mind what I am about to do. And by doing that, when I actually head on the stage, it's not the first time anymore I've been on that stage. So the second time is always much less scarier.
Have a drink of water. I mean, I had a soprano in the studio a couple of weeks ago, and you obviously don't do the vocal or the facial gymnastics that they have to go through.
Yes.
But is there a finger routine? I mean,
Sydney Stedford really kindly provided me with a warm-up keyboard in the backstage. And I kept my fingers going until about 10 minutes before I go on. I stopped playing altogether because I don't want any last-minute panic. No, you know, I don't want to tire myself out. And then during that moment, I drink a little bit of water, but I don't eat.
You drink a little bit of water, do you? Mm-hmm. Well, today, during the Monday Drive show, I've been giving health tips, and there are 7 health tips all about drinking water. So maybe, there you go. Would you like to read number 5?
Drink water when you have a headache. A headache can be a symptom of dehydration, and it can also trigger migraine attacks. For those with migraines, increasing water intake may help decrease migraine severity, frequency, and duration. Yes, I can take that advice myself.
Oh, there you go. Well, I might give you a copy of this whole thing, of the all 7 tips a little bit later on. But that's a little bit about how you address a performance now.
Yes.
But you've been playing piano since you were 7.
Yes, that's 7. It.
7.
I wish I started earlier. I started begging my parents for a piano when I was 5 years old.
A Kauai?
just a piano, any piano.
Right.
It was my neighbor who was practicing. I could hear her
really?
Practicing through the walls every single day. And I told my parents, I really want one of those. Yeah. They thought it was just a phase. And I kept persisting for 2 years until they finally caved in.
Okay, so you started at 7.
Yes.
7 to 12 is only 5 years. And at age 12, what were you doing at age 12?
I had my first experience with an orchestra.
First experience with an orchestra. Is that stunning or is it not? I mean, it must feel, I mean, typically when a pianist plays with an orchestra, you're right out the front.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
In front of the conductor, in fact. So how does it feel riding the bow wave of such power, such 42 or 45 members of the orchestra yesterday, I believe, or something like that? How does it feel to be at the front being propelled by that?
Fantastic. It's so exciting. I think I'm a little bit addicted to that adrenaline, to be honest.
Right. Well, I just want to play something which might indicate what that power sounds like. It's only the first few moments. In fact, it's the first few seconds. And I just want you to recall, because you have played this, the power of the orchestra's first few chords and then the piano taking over from it. That's powerful, isn't it? I'm just staggered by that. That's, of course, Beethoven's symphony, Piano Concerto No. 5. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But I just think that power of that first chord and then the piano just takes over. I mean, it's got to feel exciting, exhilarating. I'm not sure how you would feel either nervous or excited at the time you hear that first chord, knowing that you have to start up after it.
The nerves stay with me until I hear the very first chord, and that just turns into excitement. And that E-flat major chord, it is golden. It's such a golden key as well.
It is.
And actually, that Beethoven Sonata No. 30 is also in E-flat.
Aha! Uh-huh.
There's so your golden key.
There's the golden key. Just That's listen it. To it one more time. Now, that is not you, but I have to say, I reckon you did it equally well last night. Now, let's talk about the concert.
But before we talk about the concert, I'm going to jump in here and say, what about the magic of music teachers? Because it was a music teacher that believed in Winnie that gave her that opportunity, a little bit like we gave her the opportunity to come back and play with an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes takes that one special music teacher, that one special person that says, I'm going to give you that opportunity. And the rush I get and the feel when I create those opportunities, I'm sure, is like when the teacher gave you that first opportunity, Winnie.
Yes, I have huge thanks to Mr. Ockwell. He was the music teacher at Fort Street High School, and he recognized something in me very early on. And at that time, I actually started doing Sydney as Steadfield when I was 9 years old.
Oh.
And I enjoyed doing the Steadfield so much, I went back year after year, and they've watched me grow.
Where were you were you there at that stage, Annette?
So I've only been with the Steadfield for 2 years. I may have seen odd bits because I used to go and watch. Did you know that anybody can go and watch any of the Sydney Steadfield events? You can buy a ticket, you can go all day and hear so much beautiful piano, or listen to someone sing or someone dance. It's a really fabulous opportunity just to buy a ticket and listen and see. But no, it was, for me, the magic of the concert yesterday, being able to sit there and see, look what you can do if you dream.
Right. Well, it was simply magnificent. But before we get onto that, I want to go back to that E-flat major topic you were talking about. In fact, I've got two very small things here that I want to play, that are just only a few seconds each. One of them is the final part of the audition you did, Concerto No. 30 by Beethoven, and another one is the final few chords from The Emperor. Now, the reason I want to play them is to get your opinion about when Beethoven was composing them, because he composed The Emperor in 1989 or something around that time, and I think it was played 2 years later. He usually played his own, but of course he was going deaf, so he actually didn't play it. That's the reason. And it's called The Emperor, not so much because he had any fond feelings about Napoleon, because in fact he didn't. It was called The Emperor, not by him, but by others, simply because of the majesty of the music itself. Anyway, all that aside, that contributes nothing to what I was going to talk to you about.
But fascinating, isn't it? All the stories that you can learn and also to be part of that continued story.
And what I wanted to draw you into was the fact that Beethoven's Emperor versus Beethoven's Sonata number 30 are totally, totally different. And I want you to compare the following few seconds. This is not you playing the Emperor. And Concerto number 30. Have you ever noticed that huge contrast in
Yes, they're written in two really different periods of Beethoven's life.
Correct.
In The Emperor, Beethoven was actually going through some successes in his life, and he's also making some come-throughs through his deafness problem. He was starting to go deaf, but there were some breakthroughs in terms of being able to bite onto a metal implement to allow him to hear himself at the piano. So it was actually a victorious part of his life. And at that time, he wrote some chamber music as well, which had very, very similar uplifting, spirited, that kind of feeling. But Beethoven 109, Opus 109, so that's the sonata number 30.
Yes.
It's quite late in his era. It's the first of
his... He only did 33, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this was the first of his last three piano sonatas, and at that point he was completely deaf. He was really wrestling with himself, and I think this particular last movement, it's extremely introspective. He's turned into within himself to look for answers, and it's a completely different time of his life. It's a completely different feeling. It's a theme and variation movement as well. So what you hear at the end is also the theme that you hear at the beginning.
Right.
And so he has gone through full circle. He understood that life just sometimes take you full circle. You are born from the same place where you pass away to. And yep. I think that understanding is just so beautiful and so, it's so immense as well, very intense.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay, I want to have just a quick break. We could talk forever and we probably will, but let's just take a quick break, shall we?
Have you ever wondered who the artists are behind the Bondi Seawall murals? In this podcast series, we meet the mural artists who've come from all over the world and around Australia to adorn the seawall at Bondi Beach with colourful, thoughtful and sometimes provocative public art. From lush tropical jungles to ocean wildlife and surfing iconography, the Bondi Seawall has captured our imagination and engaged our minds for nearly 50 years. You can subscribe to this Arts Wednesday podcast series now at eastsidefm.org/series.
Okay, I'm going to speed through the finance report today because, quite honestly, I prefer to be talking to Winnie Sue. What happened on the markets? Well, just turn that down a little bit. What happened on the markets? Well, it rocketed up at the commencement of trade today, and I think that was likely in response to the fairly muted response that Israel made in the conflict in its part of the world. And it was fairly muted, and it signalled that there was not going to be an all-out war, and therefore the markets jumped at the prospect. They gained, today's markets gained a whole percent, 1.08%, the ASX 200, and similarly the All Ords jumped accordingly. Of all the sectors, there was only the energy sector that had a minor fallback, but everything else did staggeringly well. Similarly, for your dollar, you'll buy a little bit more of nearly everything than you could last week. So there you go. That's about all you need to know on the money side of things. There is a fairly ominous sign in terms of the volatility index, but we just hope that political events worldwide will hold that in bay. All right, well, that's all you get for your money report today, I'm afraid, where I'm in the studio joined by Winnie Sue and Annette Brown, the CEO of the Sydney Estedford. And before we move on, I think it's probably appropriate that we continue with our health tips. And maybe, Annette, you could give us a health tip. Winnie's already done hers, so how about you give us one on the benefits of water?
I think this one's vital. You shouldn't slam water down before a workout in the hope of hydrating up. That will likely lead to uncomfortable sloshing and bloating as you move. So you should hydrate a day or two before exercise and make sure you're drinking water regularly in the days leading up to a workout, particularly those that are tough or sweaty. Also, be sure to hydrate well after your workout is complete to replace what you've lost through sweat. Can I add that this is vital for dancers, for also Winnie was last week doing a wonderful masterclass, and she talked about how to be prepped. So this number six, vital.
Well, they're not even a sponsor. I mean, it's staggering that we're giving him such publicity, and my health tips today. This is amazing stuff. Okay, let's get back to Winnie. Thanks for doing that, Annette. What do you think has been the biggest challenge that you have faced in a performance? Is it the fact that maybe a string has popped, or maybe the first violinist is out of tune, or what do you think?
I think what is really terrifying for a lot of pianists is memory lapses. We're afraid of showing up on stage and forgetting what we are doing.
Yeah,
yes?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. But there are many, many ways to cope with this. And actually, I'll give you a little bit of insight to what happened on my performance on Saturday, which you weren't there for.
No, I wasn't.
But at the beginning, I was extremely, extremely nervous. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit overwhelmed, in fact. When I went on stage, I tried my best to compose myself. Mm-hmm. But even with all of the visualization or anything, I couldn't slow down my heart rate. Oh. The orchestra began. I tried my best to enjoy the moment. But at some point, an audience member made a noise, and it kind of jolted me awake, and I slipped on my left hand. And for two bars, my left hand just disappeared. But I didn't stop. And
wow.
A lot of people had no idea what even happened. Now, it has taken me many, many years to get to this point, because what we want to do, sometimes we want to be perfect and we want to go back and we want to fix it.
Mm.
Yes. And then it's really hard to accept the circumstance that, oh, I can't possibly, you know, go on without showing the audience that I actually know how to play this bit. I have to go back and show them that I actually practiced this and I actually know how to play this. So that quest for perfectionism actually makes the mistake even more obvious.
Right. So the answer to the question might almost be annoyance from the wretched audience.
Well, actually, I don't think of it as annoyance. I think it's meant to be there. I don't think I can ever expect an audience of several hundred to stay perfectly quiet, to never cough, to never clap, to never anything.
I have to tell
they're just
you,
human.
I have to tell you that the person in front of me in the row in front of me, about four seats to my left, had this habit of tapping her jolly foot, and I nearly reached across and clouted it. I really did. So if it annoyed me that much, I don't know how
well, perhaps she was just enjoying herself a lot.
Well, she might have been, but then again, as you said, she's one of several thousand in the audience in some cases. So,
exactly. And I actually invite audiences to react. I think it's perfectly normal and perfectly healthy for them to react that way. But as a performer on stage, when we are in the zone, sometimes our brains are hyperactive and we would pick up on all these tiny little minute things, and they can come across as distractions to us from our performance. But I think what's really, really important is that it's not about how long we can stay focused for, right? I think that's the wrong way of perceiving it. It's about how quickly can we recover from a distraction.
Well, I think there is no need to recover from anything during this piece. This is the second movement of the piece that we started to listen to earlier, Beethoven Sonata number 30, and this is you. That's Winnie Sue, and that was actually a recording of Winnie Sue, but I think it's almost appropriate that we should do something a little bit more than a recording. And I've wheeled in here, it's not what you might call the grand piano, but and it's probably...
It's very cute.
It's very cute, okay. Well, you might like to tune it up. Let's have an A. Oh, hang on, I'd better... Did you switch? Are you switched on?
Yes, I'm switched on. Should I turn up the volume?
No, don't do anything. Right, now.
Oh, there we go.
Again.
Yes, perfectly. A440, yes.
Okay, Winnie, yeah. The floor is yours. Ladies and gentlemen,
okay.
Winnie Sue on Monday Drive at 5:45. Winnie, yes. Over to you.
Yes, well, speaking of E-flat majors, this is what E-flat majors sound like. Yes, rich, isn't it? Golden as a key. And let me play you a quick, tiny little tune on this cute little 60-key keyboard. Nice.
I think. hang on a minute. I need to give you this.
That was so fun.
Okay. In fact, they loved it so much they even.
So gorgeous.
There you go.
That's
enough. There you go. We don't want to make your head bigger. That was Winnie Sue, and you heard it live here on East Side Radio, Monday Drive. My run sheet for this afternoon has gone out the window. I've enjoyed talking to you far too much. It's been absolutely ridiculous. Now, you're presently studying under Professor Graham Scott.
Yes, at the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester.
In Manchester. And you're going to be going back there very shortly. When are you leaving?
Wednesday.
You're leaving on Wednesday.
Yes, I'm in the middle of classes right now.
You're in the middle of classes. Right now. Well, there are two things. The first thing is, how is it, what benefit can you possibly get from taking lessons, given that you're at the standard that you're at now, which is, I reckon Daniel Barenboim could well retire because you're on his heels.
Oh, no. I still have so much more to go. I need experience. I need guidance whilst I'm trying to get experience getting on stage. I still have a lot more work to do. There are still composers out there that I haven't really, really fully explored, and I need a little bit of guidance from the teachers while I'm still a student exploring those composers.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would love to play more is actually Australian composers as well.
Okay.
And I plan to study a lot more of those going forward into my master's. So I'll also be doing a master's going ahead at the Royal Northern College of Music, and with their guidance I'd be able to not just improve on my technique but also my musical understanding of all of these different genres of music.
Right. Yes. Okay. Well, having said that, to thank you both for coming into the studio, I have a small gift. This is for you, Annette, for your new premises. I hope you enjoy that. Now, it's a little bit big to give you one similar, Winnie. So here is an East Side pen to take on your travels with you. And yours is an East Side branded mug.
Oh.
And I hope the coffee that you drink out of it. Oh, hang on.
Do you want me to play what's on the pen? There's a little bit of music on the pen.
Of
it
course.
Says Classical Beats here.
Yeah, well, Classical Beats is the show that I have on a Tuesday evening that I hope that you might be able to be part of as well. But if there's something you'd like to play, you go ahead.
It's on the pen here.
And that was the theme music that I thought I might adopt on Classical Beats, but that wasn't to be. So we're approaching the end of our time here, and I've got a piece of music that'll take us out. But before we get to that, I just want to thank you so much for coming in today, Winnie.
Thank you.
And thank you, Annette. It's been wonderful to have you both. And I wish you well for your travels.
Thank you so much.
And Annette?
I so look forward to meeting everyone again. And Alan, please come to any of our shows. We can't wait to engage in the audience.
Okay, well, I'll do that. And I'm going to leave you with a piece of music which by now will be familiar to everybody.
7 FM, East Side.